All right. Well, it's fun to see you all. And I'm going to be moving, so I want to really just drink you in right now. I've known the Lord for almost 47 years, and he's taken me through rough waters and really bad deep pits. And I just want to share a snippet of my life and walk with the Lord with you. I'm a really wordy person. I tell every detail. I tell every look a person had on their face. But so this is going to be really concise for me. So if you have questions, ask me later. I grew up in a violent home with verbal, emotional, and physical abuse. I grew up thinking I was seen, but I really wasn't. My father was often gone, and he was emotionally distant. So my mom was very dependent on me emotionally. My mother was a narcissist, and everything I did was all about her. I existed to fulfill her needs and her dreams. She loved it when I was in the spotlight, yet constantly criticized and berated me for not making her look good or not putting her in a good light. On the outside, I seemed like the golden child, but I was also aware that my mother was living her life through me, so I had to look good. She actually hoped I would be the first lady one day. I'm not kidding. But there was always a lot of drama in our house and chaos, and I knew it was always up to me to make it all right. I didn't like it, but I didn't know any other way to live, so I did whatever was expected of me. And I always followed the rules. I found safety in following the rules. While I was held up on a pedestal a lot of the time, and I believed I could do or be anything I wanted to do, I more often felt like a loser and that I didn't measure up. I was full of self-loathing, self-doubt, and fear, and I trusted no one. Having been given mixed messages all my life was crazy-making. Looking back, I can see I was really depressed as a child. I didn't understand that word. And as you might imagine, those things spilled into the rest of my life and caused long-term issues. I longed to feel like a normal person. I had my mother's voice in my head all the time. And it was only recently that I realized that voice was the voice of shame. I got married 3 weeks after my 19th birthday. Sorry to the rest of you who have teenage kids who are thinking about getting married. It was really scary, and it was hard for my family to accept. And I was now listening to a different voice. I was listening to Steve's voice, and that did not go over well. After all, Steve wasn't going to be president, and he didn't even have a job. So because she had always set the standard for who I should be, making that decision was like me drawing a line in the sand. So we moved to Washington right away, and we lived in a mobile home on Steve's grandparents' property, and as it turns out, they were dynamic Bible-believing Christians. Within 6 months of marriage, I accepted Jesus, and I became a student of God's Word and got involved in church. Although I wasn't overweight, I had prayed since ninth grade to get my eating under control. I had always turned to food for comfort and any other reason I could think of. I needed a lot of comfort, as I was lonely in Washington and had a very chaotic marriage and simply did not have the tools to deal with all the changes in my life. Eventually, we had our first daughter, and soon after, moved to Hawaii, where we lived for 20 years. I definitely grew in the knowledge of Jesus there, and the Word became my standard. And there were many changes in my life, but my heart had never really healed after all the years of abuse. But I was now listening to God's voice, and that didn't go over well either with my family. At the same time, I still heard my mother's voice in my head, and it became very confusing for me. We went through a lot in Hawaii. A year or so after moving to Hawaii, I found out I was pregnant again. And I was just ecstatic. We both were ecstatic. My close friend Patty also found out she was pregnant, and she was not ecstatic, and she was due a couple days after me. Sadly, at 20 weeks, my water broke, and I went into labor, and after 15 hours, we suffered the loss of our baby daughter. It was traumatic, and I was inconsolable. Soon after, Patty found out she was having twins, which was unbearable for me. The irony wasn't lost on me, but mostly it just seemed like a cruel joke that God was playing on me. I read in Philippians 1:6, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." I still say that verse every day. For a great deal of my walk with the Lord, I've lived my life in limbo, waiting for him to complete that good work in me, waiting for him to answer my cries and repair relationships. I've had some amazing experiences with him providing for us over the years and meeting me right where I am and causing all things to work together for his good, but I continued to battle depression and overeating. I'd look in the mirror, and I would viciously tell myself how much I hated myself. This was a regular practice, and how worthless I was. Recently, Leanne reminded me of an incident that happened about 6 or 7 years ago at a retreat. We were sharing a room. I went into the room, and I didn't realize she was in the room. And I went in the bathroom to have one of these talks with myself. And she heard the whole thing. She told me much later that she overheard me, and she just wished the floor could just swallow her up. And I actually wasn't going to tell you what she said I was saying, but I think I am. She said that I said something about being a court jester, which connected me to the feeling, I don't know exactly what I said, but it connected me to that feeling that I had at most retreats, which was, I don't have any friends, no one likes me, I'm nothing more than a court jester. All I'm here for is comic relief, and I believed that. It wasn't just something I was seeing. I really believed that. I felt useless and worthless. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life." And my heart was sick. I had lots. What that is? I had lots of counseling, but I decided to make an appearance. I've had lots of counseling, and it was very helpful. And the best way to describe it is in Hawaii there are two types of leis, and we lived there forever. Two types of leis that go on your head. One's called a haku lei, and that's made of raffia, and you weave flowers throughout it, and you can preserve that lei. It's really beautiful. The other one's a very simple lei, and it's called a lei po'o. Po'o being head. It's just a string of flowers on your head. And I realized all I had learned in counseling was like a lei po'o. It was just resting on my head. And my hope was that someday that lei po'o would become a regular lei and rest in my heart. But I was a long way from there, even after hundreds, literally hundreds of hours of counseling. I got to the point a few years ago after my parents passed away and I settled their estate where I realized I'd been white-knuckling it for a really long time. I'd been in survival mode, really, and I didn't know how to relax my grip. I just didn't know what to do with myself. As was often the case, I was depressed, sitting on the couch all the time, to avoid pain and life. And I just wanted to die. I had diabetes and sleep apnea and was quite overweight. I had debilitating sciatica, and I couldn't stand or walk for longer than 5 or 10 minutes. I became aware of the fact that I was living my mom's life. She was disabled, which I didn't mention before, and I was living the life of a disabled person. It felt very familiar to me. And I knew that I was the only one that could change it. Something in me, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit, allowed me to get my ducks in a row and start working to get my life back. That was my goal. I hadn't felt like a real person in a really long time. I was very broken when I started this, but I only changed one thing at a time. My friend Jan Waltz, who a lot of you know, told me several years ago that she discovered that there is a lot between all and nothing. There's a lot between all and nothing. Just let that sink in. That's profound. When you think something will never change or that you are incapable of change, or even making a small effort towards change, there really is a lot between all and nothing. And baby steps will get you there. And between all and nothing is where the Lord meets you. He intricately weaves it together in his impeccable timing. About 9 months after I made the decision to take my life back, it occurred to me that my mom's voice was no longer in my head. It had been there all my life. It was gone, and it hasn't come back. And in fact, it had been gone for a while. That was nothing short of miraculous. I'm still amazed every day. That's why I'm excited to tell you. I really am. After all the counseling and diets I had been on, he had done a work in me. I was no longer depressed and despondent. I no longer hated myself, and I wasn't fearful anymore. The voice of shame was gone, and I knew he had always been there. He heard my cries, and he was never far from me. During all the years of pressuring myself to be something other than what God created me to be, all the years of hating myself, he was there. He saw little Terry getting dragged across the room by the hair because she was blocking the TV all those years ago. He was there for that. I had seen myself as nothing more than a useless lump of nothing. I was and am able to see myself as a precious child of his. A diamond in the rough, but a diamond nonetheless. There is no formula. I had clung to him and prayed to him, and I was broken and hurt for many, many years. What I can tell you is that he did a work in me, that he did it when I least expected it, and I don't feel like a loser anymore. I can accept compliments without a comeback as to why that couldn't possibly be true. I can look in the mirror without telling my reflection how much I despise it. I no longer take responsibility for things that aren't mine, and I have a better marriage. I wasn't a weak person, just broken, and he continues to work in me, but I am set free. It's more important to know whose you are than where you're going. Keep walking with him, and you will find that getting what he desires for you is more than satisfying. I don't look back on this time as wasted time, because I know he saw me and he loved me. And I'm not disappointed that this finally happened to me in my third trimester of life. I'm just grateful it did. I've always lived in a place called Timely Manor, and I suspect some of you may live there too. I like things to be done in my own timetable. I liked them to unfold the way that I expect them to. But God also lives in Timely Manor. And in fact, he's the boss of Timely Manor. And things will play out the way he wants them to. And we can have faith, and we can have control, but we can't have them both at the same time. We just can't. He is often the God of the 11th hour, but he knows what he's doing, and he's worth the wait. He has heard my cries. He hears my cries. He sees me now, and he saw me all those years when I was in pain. And he has heard your cries. He continues to hear your cries. He sees you now, and he saw you when you were hurting and lonely and depressed and abused and marginalized. He didn't forget about you, and he doesn't forget about you. He is our hope. He is our only hope. You are his, and he isn't going to let you go because he loves you. You wait. You watch. You'll see.